Sometimes we can fall into the thinking that the extraordinary happened long ago and we are just stuck with the ordinary. That the apostles and the prophets, they did extraordinary things, and in a certain sense, the extraordinary for them was ordinary. And we are just stuck with ordinary things that don't seem to have much excitement or dignity. And if things go wrong, it's just not that exciting or worthwhile. However, I invite you to consider what it must have been like for these apostles to be sent out on their first missionary journey. They were certainly called to something extraordinary, and I believe it is fair to say that it was certainly extraordinary for them. To think about a lowly fisherman, uneducated, poor, not much standing in the community, to be given a mandate to preach repentance, which includes things like calling people out on their sins and the way they do not live up to God, and to tell them that it is possible to come to Him, or to be given authority over unclean spirits, to be able to heal people with the anointing of oil. Can you imagine St. Peter or St. Matthew, St. Andrew, laying hands on for the first time and being astounded that that gesture actually worked? That they may have seen Jesus do that multiple times, but they were just there in the background, but then they were in the midst of it. How surreal that must have been. You could think of the prophet Amos in our first reading today. He has a beautiful line. God called me from following the flock to be a prophet. He had no aspirations to be a prophet. He had no vision when he was tending his sycamore trees and taking care of his sheep that one day he would be coming face to face and butting heads with the corrupt government of Israel, being kicked out of the king's temple because he was preaching the truth of God. It must have been very surreal for him, in a sense, that a lowly shepherd was called to be a prophet. For us in our own lives, I would dare say that God calls us to extraordinary things as well. He calls us to things that are new and novel to us, are unexpected, and in the moment may seem surreal. I think of my own experience as a priest, and I can only but help but laugh at times to think that this must be God's call, because, looking back at myself, I'm kind of more of a homebody. I like more of an introvert and quiet and avoiding confrontation, wanting to please people. But God has called me to be out into the public, to speak publicly every day, every week, and at times be called upon to preach on contentious moral issues. Personally, that's not where my disposition is, but God has called me elsewhere. And even if you think about the most common vocation of all in the Christian world, that to marriage and to be parents, that it is so that a man can conceivably say, God called me from my bachelor pad to be a husband and a father. What a transition. How remarkable for a woman to say that God has called me from where I thought I was going to be a mother, to be a wife. And even when things go awry, when we think we know we had the ideal life, we thought that we had the right career or even the perfect marriage, and something happens, some tragedy, some brokenness. Obviously, we want to say that God did not will that evil in itself, but He has called us a new state. That I find myself as a widower or a widow or a divorcee, someone who's out of a job and looking for employment. And in the context of that brokenness, God has called me to be a disciple in a different way now than I was before. God calls us to respond to Him in ways that we may not even imagine, very similarly to how the prophet Amos and the 12 we're called to unimaginable things by our Lord. This is an invitation to go into the unknown, to embrace the mystery of God's call for us, recognizing that we cannot be prepared for everything. We cannot carry everything on the journey to be self-sufficient. Jesus tells his apostles to, bring no food for the journey, no money in their belts. Likewise, we have to be reliant upon where God calls us. Sometimes people are thinking, I have to be in the exact moment. I have to be perfectly prepared before I can say my yes to our Lord. But that's impossible. Instead, we rely on God's providence, recognizing that He gives us His grace constantly to strengthen us, that in His providence He sends us the right people at the right time to assist us. And in times past, He taught us lessons that were probably irrelevant to us in the moment, that became very relevant in the present. As we encounter the mystery of our lives, we acknowledge that it can be messy. It can be difficult. We compare ourselves to an ideal family, to an ideal discernment process, to an ideal what have you, and we lament that it's not ideal. I think about the fact of the matter is that that is part of our task, part of the call, to take our cross daily and follow after our Lord. And while, yes, we have to look out for how our sinfulness may contribute to brokenness and seek to remedy that, but just the mere fact that there is imperfection should not lead us to despair. Some people may worry about their home life and butting heads and division and lack of reconciliation. But it reminds me of something I like to tell the little ones whenever they come to confession, most often, because most little kids have confessions involving family, right? Because that's really all they know, whether disobeying mom and dad, being mean to brother and sister. And I like to remind them that God put us in our families for a reason, to learn how to love. And oftentimes we learn how to love by trial and error. There's that learning process that we all must go through, that we make mistakes, we do embarrassing things, but we know that our Lord is loving, and He calls us back and calls us to greatness. And all the while, He calls us to something extraordinary, always pushing us out, pushing us beyond our comfort zone, so that we can know that we are relying not on ourselves, but on the grace of God. So as we approach the altar of our Lord today, I invite you, my brothers and sisters, to just write a blank check to God. As we go through that offertory, offer those gifts of bread and wine and our financial resources, offer up ourselves as well, knowing that from that altar to which we send our gifts, God gives us His life, He gives us His body, He gives us His spirit, and He gives us His strength.